The following is a presentation of KSL Sports. First and 12. A total roundup of this weekend's BYU football and the new look Big 12 Conference. First and 12 is sponsored by Macy's Grocery Store. Your hosts are Mitch Harper and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio and the KSL Sports Zone.
Good morning, Big 12 football fans. We've got a lot to unpack today in First and 12. Mitch Harper, Alex Keery. Might not be a good morning if you're a BYU football fan out there. Jeez, it's tough times for the Cougars. We'll get to that depressing loss for BYU against Iowa State and also unwind everything that happened around the Big 12 conference today. Good morning, though, Alex. It's going to be another good show.
Mitch. Yeah, man. What time did you go to bed last night?
Or today? I went to bed around 3 o'clock.
Yeah, I was around 2:30 kind of guy. I feel like, it is what it is. And I would rather not be doing this with anybody else but you and Eric this morning. So there you go. There's That's at least right. that we have. So we got tons to jump into. Let's kick things off as we always do with our Big 12 headlines, taking over the entire conference with 12 big headlines. Let's do it.
12 headlines.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
The dozen storylines that shape this week of Big 12 football. Headline 1.
Uno headline number 1. Oklahoma State stomped by UCF in the bounce house 45-3. Just when you think you know this Big 12, Alex, Oklahoma State gets rolled.
BYU can at least say, hey, we didn't have the most embarrassing loss in the Big 12 yesterday. It was the most embarrassing loss came with the most embarrassing field storming as well. There were about 1,400 people in the stands. I think 119 of them ran onto the field when UCF beat Oklahoma State. It was a weird scene, but a 42-point loss at the hands of John Rhys Plumlee and the UCF Black Knights. Well done to UCF for their first year of the Big 12, getting a signature win at their place.
Headline number two, R.J. Harvey, not Ollie Gordon, is the star running back. He had 206 rushing yards. Ollie Gordon was kept in check.
Yeah, you know, it was one of those where the whole game was a head-scratcher. When it was 17-0, I went, well, here comes Oklahoma State. They're going to figure this thing out. And, yeah, you're right, R.J. Harvey, at this point, too, certainly whoever's looking at Oklahoma State the rest of the way and other teams who are just finding a way to not be in the Big 12 championship game, you just are going, what is going on with this conference? Headline number three, Texas was cruising against TCU, or at least it seemed so, with the last 3.5 minutes of the game. TCU ends up falling short of a comeback, and Quinn Ewers on his debut back after a couple games out leads Texas to a 29-26 win. But when you saw Jonathan Brooks, Mitch, getting carried off the field, if you're a Texas fan, that is not looking good for your team the rest of the way.
That's definitely worrisome for the Longhorns. Headline number four, Jason Bean. Speaking of injuries, Kansas quarterback, he goes down with an injury early in the game. Looked to be a leg injury. That causes Kansas to get upset at home by Texas Tech.
Yeah, Texas Tech is also just one win away. Speaking of headline number five, Texas Tech is 5-5 on the season. They're one win away from bowl eligibility. Boy, if you're a 5-5 Texas Tech team, you feel way better than being a 5-5 BYU team right now. Feel like they're headed in totally different directions. Dave Aranda, headline number six. That Baylor head coach, they get blown out again this year. They get beat up by K-State, and it was not even as close as the score even indicated. So Kansas State rebounds with their loss to Texas last week with a big taking care of business situation against Baylor. Baylor, one of those teams in the Big 12 this year that they keep the blowouts keep piling up for Dave Aranda and the Baylor Bears.
Sure feels like his heat is cooking a little bit. Kansas State putting the hammer down on teams. Headline number seven, Oklahoma, Dylan Gabriel, quarterback for the Sooners. He accounts for 8 touchdowns as Oklahoma storms past West Virginia and makes me look like a fool as I thought West Virginia was going to hang. Sooners 59, West Virginia 20.
Oh, Mitch, West Virginia, you didn't need West Virginia to make you look like a fool on a Sunday morning. We were the ones that were awake till 3 a.m. last night covering a football game.
True.
And here we are again this morning. All right, yes, I was shocked. I mean, frankly, the 59-20 result. Hey, BYU fans, you nervous enough? Headline number 8, Cincinnati clinches its first Big 12 conference victory. We were watching this one in real time going, oh, Cincinnati and Houston, we build this one as the worst game of the week of the Big 12. Ended up being an okay game. But, yeah, Cincinnati gets its win, its first win of the Big 12. Congrats to them. Headline number 9, Mitch, is up to you, man.
BYU, they lose their third straight. And the concerning thing about these losses, Alex, and we'll get more into this game a little bit later this hour, they fall to Iowa State, and these are just blowout losses week yes. after week where it's impacting the brand of BYU football. Everything you thought you were acquiring this Big 12 conference, it's not showing up on the field, and BYU's losing its identity right now.
Well, yes, we will chat all about it. But Iowa State, what a game by the Cyclones last night. The offense comes alive on a team that did not have an offense coming alive all season long until last night, it seemed like. Headline number 11. Four teams now tied for second place. They decided they didn't want to be tied for first place anymore, Mitch. They just all wanted to be tied for second place. And so now the battle to see who that team is going to be, who's going to make that Big 12 championship game, gets a little bit more interesting. And boy, Oklahoma's counting their blessings today because they saw everybody else in front of them lose, and now they have a shot again to get back at Texas in that championship game.
Yeah, those four teams, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, Kansas State, and Iowa State. Headline number 12, 7 teams are going bowling in the Big 12 Conference. That means they've got at least 6 wins, and then another 3 are 1 win away, and that includes BYU sitting at 5-5. And that's your Big 12 headlines for the week. It was an eventful week 11, some strange outcomes, some unexpected outcomes, as this conference continues to show us, Alex, that anything is going to happen every single week, and that's what kind of makes it the most, I think, one of the most unique conferences in all of college football.
Yeah, it's despite the fact that you might not be happy about your team losing, this is certainly a lot of great football to watch every week. And it does say, at the very least, Mitch, there are tons of athletes in this conference. Every team has a bunch of athletes, and if you're not like a legacy member of the conference, you have fewer athletes than the other members of the conference. It's pretty apparent right now. All right, let's take our first break on this Sunday morning of 1st and 12 right here on KSL News Radio and also on the KSL Sports Zone. You can dial us up every week also on the podcast, 1st and 12. Search it up. Get yourself dialed in on what's going on in the conference across the entirety of the conference, including the teams that are going to be coming into the conference next year. We'll take a break here. 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone and 102.7 FM KSL News Radio. It's 1st and 12.
Read all the stories about BYU sports no one else has heard. Go to KSLSports.com for exclusive columns by BYU insider Mitch Harper. That's KSLSports.com.
That's right. Best in the market, Mitch Harper. He covers this BYU football team, and he does it really, really well. KSLSports.com. You're going to get to hear Mitch and Matt on some Cougar Nation. And if it's anything like our postgame show was last night, Mitch, you'll actually get all the calls for all the wrong reasons. So you're going to want to tune in for that tomorrow on KSL News Radio. Mitch Harper, Alex Keery here with you on a Sunday morning for 1st and 12. Our program brought to you by Macy's for the freshest fruits and vegetables from local farms, your favorite local brands as well. Macy's, happy shopping, bringing you 1st and 12 every week. Well, let's break down that BYU football game this week, Mitch. 45-13, BYU falls to Iowa State. It was ugly from the beginning. The very first pass of the night was Jake Retzlaff into the hands of an Iowa State linebacker. And more importantly, it was while you're watching it, you're going, is this a robotic situation that you definitely had? I mean, it was definitely a script, right? You have the first play scripted out. You run it during practice. And that second-level throw that he attempted probably during the week looked like it was available. Isaac Rex was standing in front of Jake Retzlaff on the first play of the game. I don't want to break down every bad play of the game, but this first one was especially glaring, at least per my view. You and I haven't been able to talk about it yet, but Isaac Rex was good for a good 7-yard pickup on that first easy throw. Instead, he throws it to the second level, doesn't get it to his guy, and that was the start of something really ugly. And the next part was that turnover on the kickoff, on the ensuing kickoff. Two fumbles, by the way, in those first two kickoffs. And that second fumble, you get the turnover. Iowa State is suddenly up 10-0, and for another week, and it seems like it's happened all year long, BYU is down two scores in the first 3 minutes of the game, Mitch.
It's great insight, because I feel like those two plays deflated anything that was maybe an advantage for BYU, home field, night game. And I know that that's a little bit tacky to point to those things, but BYU's been a really good home football team. They've been very good under Kalani, especially at night, and those got deflated instantly, and the crowd was silenced, and you know, BYU was in a hole like they've always been this season. I just feel like this is a game, Alex, where BYU's brand, BYU's identity has collapsed. And, you know, I think that the coaches are trying to say all the right things, but there's nothing that BYU hangs their hat on. There's never been seasons where BYU can't, you know, turn to something and point to a thing or two that says, you know, that's who we are. BYU, the last few years, has been a physical football team up front with explosive plays through the air, and there's no sign of that right now. And what's worrisome is that you're less than a month away till the transfer portal opening up. I mean, how much of a mass exodus do you have? And then do you have to replenish this roster once again with the transfer portal?
Geez.
Look what's happened this year. Look, I think they got a good transfer portal class, but clearly it's taken longer for all this to mesh than anyone would have expected. So this was just a real, tough loss for BYU. And the thing is, too, I was thinking about it. We've seen BYU, you and I, over the years, go into Provo and get blown out. It happens. I remember in 2017 they lost to Wisconsin big. But
yep.
The common theme with those blowouts is that they're losing to great teams. There's not many times when a 500 football team rolls into Provo and stomps BYU by 30-plus. That's what happened. And it wasn't anything exotic by Iowa State. It was just line it up, and Rocco Beck's going to be a solid kind of game manager quarterback. He was good. I don't think he was spectacular. And he just laid the hammer down on BYU.
Yep.
I just think BYU's got a lot of issues right now, Alex. And, man, there's not one particular area that leads itself as the biggest issue.
Yeah, and, you know, look, you brought up 2017. I didn't, okay? Let the record reflect that it was you, because that was the last time I think people felt like this, right? When we talked about it last night in the booth, it was like, man, this feels dire. It feels so desperate. It feels so dark right now in terms of where this program is, and there's no explanation. And there's no, like, I mean, here's the thing too, Mitch, that people could dog the offense all they want, but Jay Hill's defense is not working right now. And Kalani's explanation last night, you'll be able to hear that in the next segment here. His explanation was, what? That people aren't buying in. That, and I thought, well, in week 10? Going into week 11 now? Like, in week 10, you don't have guys buying into the scheme that you've been working on since last spring? I don't know what you would need then. I don't know why you would have to, or why you ever go, no, it just hasn't clicked yet. What are we talking about here? We're not talking about switching on the light in the room. We're talking about guys buying in, whether or not the coaches have given them the resources to be able to make that happen. And, again, by the way, all these last few games, I was looking at this as well, and I thought of all the things that have happened to BYU this year, blowouts have been something that has happened. West Virginia, 30-point loss last week. Texas, a 29-point loss the week before. They beat Texas Tech, but four out of the last five games, the TCU 44-11, Texas 35-6, West Virginia 37-7, Iowa State 45-13. It does feel like a dire moment for BYU, because it's not just losing football games and like, man, you were right there. They weren't in this thing for 1 second last night. They haven't been in a football game since probably the first two or three minutes of that Texas game. I mean, there just has not been a moment that they have been even anywhere near. And, you know, after a week they go, now they're going to figure it out. Now they're going to figure this thing out. All right, let's get down to some numbers. I don't want to just, like, bag on this thing. And I do want to get into some what these numbers look like. BYU last night, from a defensive standpoint, it was so hard to watch, because Iowa State felt like they had the ball forever at the very beginning especially. But you also saw these two teams with 443 yards for Iowa State, who, by the way, This is not a, like I said, these were the two worst offensive teams in the Big 12 coming in. BYU wanted that title, I guess, because they gave up 443 yards to an Iowa State team that was 101st in the country in total offense. They got themselves a 318 yards, which is a little bit of a joke because they Iowa State was like, we don't really want the football the rest of the way. Will you please just run this thing out so we can fly back to Ames? And they ended up with 318 yards. They did have 188 yards on the ground, which you know, I know people will look at and say, well, that's a little bit of a positive. And I do think that the offensive line played a little bit better. Jake Retzlaff was absolutely lost back there in the backfield last night. You asked about the slipping on the turf, and that was a weird thing too because that became a strange storyline because everybody seemed to be slipping except for Iowa State. And so Kalani brought up they're both Nike schools. They both have the same gear, but obviously did not look like that last night. It was a weird moment because Lavelle Edwards Stadium doesn't usually have that grass issue, especially when the weather's not, you know, a problem. So the yardage was garbage in terms of comparison. I mean, the 6 for 20, I think, from Retzlaff for 104 yards. He had 6 yards passing in the first half. I mean, there's a lot of stuff you can look at and go, holy cow, this was an awful night for BYU. 1 for 11 on third downs. You know, at one point, Iowa State was 8 for 6. Or, I mean, excuse me, 6 for 8 on third down conversions. Any third down, we knew that they were going to convert it. So, I don't know where you want to start, Mitch, because I saw all of those things.
And BYU can't cause turnovers. Right? You know that when BYU does not create takeaways, they're going to get blown out, and that's what happened too last night. And you know, credit Iowa State as well because that's the youngest football team in the Big 12. I think Matt Campbell and that team are building something to where you look at the future of the 16 team Big 12. They're going to probably be in the upper kind of crust of this conference because I just trust Matt Campbell. He's one of the best coaches in this conference, and he will get the most out of his teams. And I thought their running back, Abu Sama, was very good. Not the best running back BYU's faced this year, but solid. And they were just sound.
He only had 8 carries, he had 110 yards. But he only needed 4 carries to get the job done last night. But 8 carries, and he beats you by himself.
And BYU did not help Jake Retzlaff much. I mean, you had some drops from Keelan Marion, Ethan Erickson. You can just go down the list and you just go, you start to raise questions. What's happening in practice? You get to game day and it's just like everything collapses. You can't say that there's good weeks of practices happening when week after week, you're just getting thumped. And there's nothing that you feel like you can build off of going at week after week because I don't know what leaves this BYU team feeling confident moving forward. And you're right, Jake Retzlaff, he looked like he was just completely struggling. And I think if you got Keaton Slovis now healthy, you probably have to turn to him. Jake Retzlaff probably lost the opportunity to put the hammer down and say, I'm your starter the rest of the way. If Keaton's good to go and he suited up last night and was warming up in practices something or in the pregame warmups, that was something he didn't do at West Virginia. I got to imagine Keaton Slovis probably has to be the guy at QB1 next week against Oklahoma. But still, it was necessary to have Retzlaff be able to run and you know, create some chain movers because he had to carry the ball 17 times for 64 yards. So it's just a rough time for BYU. And it really raises questions too, Alex, about is how this season's playing out with blowout after blowout. It's one thing to go maybe 5-7 and you're, you know, in every single game and you're battling for a full 60 minutes in these Big 12 contests, but it's a different vibe if you go 5-7 and every game down the stretch is a blowout. You wonder if it raises the heat on Kalani. You really have to think about that. And I know Tom Homo is probably a guy that's nearing retirement. He doesn't even want to probably entertain that thought to have to hire another head coach before he exits stage right, whenever that is. But, man, this is getting rough for BYU, and it's just the way that they're playing raises some real questions.
Speaking of raising, one of the things that came up last night during our postgame show was people going, so they're going to reseat the stadium and charge another 40% or whatever it's going to be on top. Like, that's going to be a tough sell after a season like this. Whatever excitement that you may have thought about with this Big 12, and you know, and the five wins that they do have right now start to look really weird, right? I mean, Texas Tech is by far and away their best win of the season, And you also wonder how they even did it, how they shut down. I mean, I guess it was because they had a third-string quarterback in, a freshman quarterback in. I was looking at this, too. Why was L.J. Martin – why did he only get 8 carries? Why did he only have 1 in the first half? He basically had 10 yards every time he touched the ball. He only had 8 carries last night, but he ended up with what, 57 yards or somewhere close to that. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but he was at one point 7 or 8 yards per carry. Why did we only see him carry the ball 8 times?
Kalani said this week that he had to re-earn his job in the same breath as Keaton Slovis. That's the only thought that could be kind of gathered from that, because it was confusing to not see L.J. Martin earlier in the game. Because the thing is, too, you have to think, Alex, if you're BYU, make that guy happy. Do not make him ticked off. And I know that's crazy, and people out there probably hearing that going, don't give in to these players. But you want to make sure to have roster retention. You don't want to lose an L.J. Martin to the transfer portal, because I guarantee that guy that goes into the portal, he's going to get suitors. He's going to have teams that want him, and will probably put together a nice NIL package for him. So you want to keep him happy. Yes, have the competition or whatever you want to spin it, but make sure he's playing, because that guy's got game, and he can be someone you build off of going forward in the future. So, yeah, that was puzzling, to say the least, to not see L.J. Martin until late in the second quarter.
Yeah, among all the things. By the way, you know, if someone's going, you gotta earn your job back, and then at the end of the season, these players are like, you gotta earn me back. You know, I mean, that's a weird thing that's been that is an NIL transfer portal, consequence. And frankly, you have to be recruiting these guys all the time, and they always talk about it. But that's not a good way to do it when you barely get a few carries to this guy who's supposed to be one of your superstars. Okay. We've got Kalani Sitake post-game from last night. You can hear it next when we come back right here on 1st and 12. We will break down that. We've got so much more to go, including a very weird power rankings, because every week this conference surprises and you just don't know what to expect. I think BYU fans should know what to expect with their team, though, in the power rankings. You don't want to miss any of that. Stay right here with us. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone, and also 102.7 FM KSL News Radio. It is 1st and 12. Mitch Harper, Alex Keery, happy Sunday morning to you. Back right around the corner. Stay with us.
The following is a presentation of KSL Sports. 1st and 12. A total roundup of this weekend's BYU football and the new look Big 12 Conference. 1st and 12 is sponsored by Macy's Grocery Store. Your hosts are Mitch Harper and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio and the KSL Sports Zone.
Happy Sunday to all of you, wherever you may be listening, however you're listening. We appreciate you checking out 1st and 12 every Sunday, 10 a.m. to noon, here on KSL News Radio and the KSL Sports Zone and podcast. We got to get out to the Kalani Sitake sound. BYU falls to Iowa State 45-13. This is head coach Kalani Sitake at Lavelle Edwards Stadium last night after the loss.
All right. Well, not a good outcome. And before I talk about some of the other stuff, I want to give credit to Iowa State and Matt Campbell and his staff. Did a great job getting their guys ready. And from what I understand, they still control their destiny and they have a chance to win the conference. We are nowhere near that right now. We got to find a way to win one more game so we can get have an extension on the season. And so I was hoping that we'd have a better chance of doing it tonight. We'll have to be ready for the game next week, our last game at home, and against Oklahoma, who's a ranked team. So that's, I believe, the last two teams on our schedule are ranked. So, but I thought Iowa State did all the things they needed to do to win the game. They attacked us on all three phases. And if you look at the stats alone, you can see that they won a turnover battle. I've mentioned, you guys heard me talk about this, the third downs have been an issue for us on defense and on offense. And so looking at the 1-for-11 on third downs is not good enough, and 1-for-4 on fourth downs is horrible. So it's not good enough football. Defensively, it's 8-for-14, but I believe they were 6-for-8 to begin the game on third downs. And, just a lot of things that didn't go well. Those are the things that stick out the most to me. And defensively, not taking care of the run game. So they were keeping things balanced. They could do a lot of different things that kept us on our heels. And I see a lot of mistakes out there still, and there's not a lot of things going right for us right now. And no one thing is to get back to work and work really hard and try to find a way to get a better result next week. And that's our focus is going to be on that. But definitely disappointed in the performance. And it takes nothing away from what Iowa State's doing as a program and what they're doing with their team. I thought they played a great game. And I don't know what they have the rest of their schedule, but, it'll be interesting to see what happens in the Big 12 Conference. We'll be watching it and trying to do whatever we can to create some chaos by just trying to get another win. And we have a great opportunity next week to play against a really good Oklahoma team. But we got to get back to work and try to get some things resolved and find some momentum to, especially after coming off the three-game losing streak right now. So take any questions you guys have.
Kalani, what's happened to the defense to where you guys just you can't come up with stops right now?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't have all the answers to that. I probably have a better answer for you on Monday if you're watching the film. But my first response to that is probably guys not believing in the system and not believing in what we were doing. There's a lot of missed tackles of the mistakes with fundamentals. There's just missed tackles, body position, a lot of guys slipping all over the place, not making plays. And defensively, you have to stop the run. You have to figure out a way to stop the run. And did not do that. They had so many big plays. And just a lot of it seems to happen on third down, you know. So we've got to figure that out. And there's probably a bunch of different ways to get that done. But I'm open for all of it, and I'm looking forward to, fixing that and getting that done by the time we take the field again next week.
When you say guys aren't bought into the system, is players not bought into what Jay Hill's coaching?
I've been around this scheme for a long time, most of my career. And the way it works is everybody's got to do the 1-11th. And so when your opportunity comes, you got to find a way to make plays. And that's but we're responsible for that. Me as a head coach, all the coaches on defense, Jay Hill and the rest of them, we have to find ways to get our guys to do their part. And everybody's got to do their part, starting from me. So that's just not good enough. And if we're going to stop the run, this is a gap sound, assignment sound type of defense. There's teams that are out there that are running the same type of scheme and system. And they're having great success at it. We've had great success with it early in the season. So we've got to find guys that can get it done, coach it the way it's supposed to be done, and then find ways to be effective.
Kalani, the way the game started, coming off a tough loss, you want to come out strong, but then fumble on the kickoff, an interception, another fumble on the kickoff. It's got to be hard, to just be like hit like that the way the game started.
Yep, and that's, take care of the football, good ball security. If individuals can't do that, then they can't play football here. So just being careless with the football does not work here.
What was the issue with the slipping? It seemed like there was a lot of problems with the footing and the cleats.
Yeah, I don't know. That's they're on the same surface too, so I don't. We're both Nike schools, so I feel like to me that's more of a situation of body position. Cutting off the wrong foot, cutting off the inside foot on plays. There's a lot of guys on the ground, but I don't want to make that the reason. There's enough mistakes that were out there that had nothing to do with us slipping and the footwear on the field. I'd like to give everything the right attention to make sure that we get better. It had nothing to do with us fumbling the ball, you know what I mean, and us not getting the right reads and throw. I mean, first three plays of the game is like fumble on kickoff, return. We throw an interception, play one. They score. Then it's like we fumble the next one, give the ball back right back to them. And you're looking at it, it's like 10-0, right? You need to stop spotting teams this opportunity. And it's just careless mistakes. And that's our job as a coaching staff and as a program to make sure that we do much better. And I cannot start like that.
What did you think of the play of Jake Rethlund today?
Well, he turned the ball over. It's not like I think he ran hard, but I don't know. I have to watch it. It's like it wasn't good enough to score points. I mean, you can't win games scoring only 13 points. And you can't win games giving up 45. And you can't win games giving the ball up and turning it over that many times without getting turnovers yourself. So it's just a momentum of a lot of negative things happening, and we've got to find a way to correct it.
Last two questions. Lonnie, you've kind of built your coaching career on being strong in the trenches.
Yep.
Put a big emphasis on that. It seems like you guys are just getting manhandled on both sides of the ball. Why is that?
Well, we'll figure it out. I think manhandle is the right answer, right statement. So, if I had the answer to tell you right now, I have to watch it on film. But yeah, I definitely did not have a presence on the line of scrimmage on both sides. So that's
the defensive guys: John Nelson, Caden Haas, John Henry Daly. Will they be back, or are they gone for the season?
No, I think John Nelson is a chance. Caden, there's a chance, but they haven't practiced, you know. So until they get on the field practicing, then probably questionable more than anything.
How much are these blowout losses impacting the culture of your program right now in the belief?
The culture is going to keep thriving. We have to build on the culture. Like we can handle tough times and adversity. That's part of life. What we can't have is same type of – no one's going to feel sorry for you. So stop feeling sorry for yourself. You know, I don't expect a lot of pity from everybody else. And so we've got to find ways to toughen up and find ways to get better. That's just what it comes down to. I'm excited about learning from the adversity. Let's see if we can get this done by next week.
You know, Mitch, fantastic questions, by the way. I mean, those are the ones that we wanted to get the answers to. And frankly, I don't even think Kalani – I think he legitimately doesn't have those answers yet. And I know that, you know, kind of backing out and saying, well, I'll have to look at the film. That's also a way to say, I don't really want to talk about it right now, because it was glaringly obvious some of the real problems against this Iowa State team last night. I think that the depressing thing, if you're on the team again, is for another week you go, no, this week we're going to turn this around. No, this week. No, now this is the week we're going to figure things out. And all these other teams are just going, you guys can try to get your minds right and try to get your personnel stuff figured out. We're just going to be over here game planning you and scheming, and we see some stuff on film that we're going to be able to beat you up on. That's what Iowa State did last night, and you can tell the frustration in Kalani's voice. So, all right, we'll take a break. We've got our game of the week that we're going to break down from the Big 12 next, so stay right here with us. It is 1st and 12 right here on KSL News Radio and on the KSL Sports Zone. When we come back, let's jump into that crazy game. Speaking of which, you can feel okay about things if you're a BYU fan today, because Oklahoma State lost to UCF by six touchdowns. So we'll come back, we'll talk about that. Stay with us right here on 1st and 12.
Today's just the start of a Big 12 and Power 5 talk to come. Listen to JJ and Alex Monday on your drive home. Afternoons from 3 to 6 on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, welcome back. It is 1st and 12 right here with you. Happy Sunday morning to you, BYU fans. You okay today? Just checking in on you. Mitch Harper, Alex Keery. Bad loss for BYU last night, 45-13 at the hands of Iowa State. But we're kicking things off this segment of the hour to chat about the Big 12 featured game of the week, which we thought was going to just be another game where Oklahoma State was going to fire it up against UCF. But the Black Knights had something else in store for Oklahoma State, who was riding high and was likely on its way to a Big 12 championship game. By the way, 1st and 12 is always brought to you by Macy's. Happy shopping, freshest fruits and vegetables from your local farms and your local brands that you love to shop. Macy's, proud sponsors of 1st and 12. Mitch, that's as big of a weird result as we've seen this entire conference. We've seen weird things happen in this conference this year, so I guess we shouldn't be surprised, but this one still surprised me.
It was shocking to see UCF up 24-0 at the half, and then it just continued to pile on, and they end up with a 45-3 win. You know, I think this is one of the reasons and examples of why UCF coming into the season among the newcomers was viewed to maybe have the best chance to compete in the Big 12 because you do see the speed, you do see the athleticism from UCF. It's just clearly taken a while for it to come together. And to take down Oklahoma State the manner in which they did, that's a nice kind of jolt of energy for UCF. They've been pretty good since that Oklahoma game a few weeks back where they nearly took down the Sooners. So UCF's, you know, trending up. And I think for these newcomers heading down the stretch, it's about kind of getting that momentum and excitement around your program heading into year two. It's easy to get excited for the first year and all the newness of being in the Big 12, the inaugural season. But once you settle in and reality kicks in, you know, how's the attitude and excitement level in year two? I think this is kind of one of those energy boosters for a program like UCF because people were wanting, you know, Gus Malzahn, like it was his seat warming up because is he just checked out? Is he just enjoying the Auburn fund and he's just, you know, enjoying life in Orlando, sunny Florida? And I just think this was a nice statement from them. They reminded people that they still have some great speed, and they're putting together a really good recruiting class, hovering around the top 25. Again, this was a much-needed momentum jolt for UCF going forward.
Think about how different the 5-5 record feels for UCF after their win last night to BYU's 5-5 record to Texas Tech's 5-5 record, right? When you look at all these teams, like Texas Tech right now is going, you know what, guys, we might be they're as good as anybody right now, I feel like. You know, they could show up and they could play with anyone. I mean, UCF goes, hey, we beat Oklahoma State by 42 points. Like, that's as embarrassing. That's worse than. I would say that's worse than the USA, the Southern Alabama loss, even in Stillwater, because you're this far into the season, you started to gain all this momentum, and you're middle finger to everybody else across the conference who said you guys didn't have it. And then you lay an egg like that. I mean, that could have single-handedly taken you out of any discussion of the Big 12 championship game. And so Oklahoma State might have ruined their season last night by not showing up in Orlando.
And Ollie Gordon, 12 carries, 25 yards. You know, he's been probably the best running back.
Lights out.
He was getting some Heisman buzz coming into the week, and then that's the performance? I mean, come on. Oklahoma State, total no-show. The good news for them is they somewhat still control their destiny with – you know, only two losses in Big 12 play. They could still get to Arlington having that tiebreaker on Oklahoma, but, you know, that it's just a real step back. And any chance of maybe being an at-large New Year's Six team, maybe that goes out the window now because that was a humbling loss. But I think it's also a good sign, too, for the new Big 12 and the league that, hey, these newcomers, they can rise up once in a while. We haven't seen that much from BYU, but UCF's shown it. Houston even showed it against Texas. So it's signs that these newcomers are stepping up in year one, even though the records aren't great and they have struggled mightily this year. But, you know, there's some better days ahead for these teams. And I just think that's maybe one of the bigger angles with UCF. But Oklahoma State, total missed opportunity by dropping that game at the bounce house. Yeah, there was rainy weather, but you got to get it done and show up. You can't have a complete no-show like they did. First and 12 brought to you by Macy's Grocery Store. Happy shopping. Get the freshest fruits and vegetables from local farms and your favorite local brands. Macy's, happy shopping. Putting a bow on hour number one. Hour number two coming up next. It's the Power Rankings, your favorite segment here on First and 12. Mitch Harper, Alex Carey, KSL News Radio, the KSL Sports Zone, and it's powered by KSLSports.com.